Hey Eco Heroes, today I'm super excited to be bringing another one of my favorite Eco Heroes onto the podcast to chat about a life, eco living, business and motherhood and everything else in between. Today I'm chatting to Monica Meldrum from Whole Kids. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. I'm just so excited because I'm chatting to Monica Meldrum from Whole Kids. Now, I just love this woman, her awesome organic business, and everything she stands for in this world. And so without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Monica to EcoChat. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you so much, Laura.
I'm literally so thrilled to have you here today. And I know we met in person for the first time last year, but you've been in my life for a little bit longer than that. It's way back from my child's first birthday party. Now, I think I told you this, but I was looking everywhere to put together eco-friendly goodie bags with healthy things in it.
That's right.
Yeah, and there wasn't anything much out there, but I stumbled across you and your business. And this, we're talking 2010, so a few years ago now, but yeah. That was the first time I came across your products and I bought them, and they were a real hit in the goodie bags.
Thank you.
I've been a very happy customer since, so I am very thrilled to talk to you today and talk about your story as a person, as a mum in business, but also with the change that you're wanting to seek through the world.
Sure. Thanks, Laura.
Let's get started then. So I know how passionate you are, and we'll go into and you'll share some of these passions in the chat today. But really, what started you on your journey? Have you always been like health conscious or environmental conscious?
Yeah.
Was it something that your parents instilled in you? What was life growing up for you like?
Life growing up for me was pretty crazy. I'm one of six kids, so I'm number five. And my mum and dad, like, we grew up, you know, just trying to, I guess, make the most of everything. So my mum was very conscious of there being no waste and meal times. I always have these memories of crazy meal times where there are six kids sitting at a table and we're all sort of diving in. And we were pretty, without actually knowing it, I think we were a pretty environmentally friendly and conscious family. We walked to school. We sort of, you know, played together a lot. We were outdoors a lot. And I think that instilled, you know, those values, childhood values of getting back to nature and just, you know, experiencing life together and just being, which has been something that sort of stayed with me. I think sort of my conscious awakening and what led to my business in terms of the environment and health was on an aid program. I visited Indonesia in early 2000 and I led a team of Australians over to a village in North Sumatra to deliver aid to children living in poverty. And at the time I was just so taken aback by these kids and these families that just had absolutely nothing. And it was monsoon at the time and we had to, between us, choose how we would deliver and use the aid. And so I had a team of, there was a doctor, a lawyer, an agricultural scientist, a teacher, and together we sort of had to work out what we'd do with the funds. And something that occurred to me, because it was monsoon, the children were playing in the drainage system and it was like a meter wide and a meter deep and it was so dangerous. And we came together and we decided that it would be great if we could just create a safe place for them to play. So we worked with the local villagers and we collected old tires and we, you know, collected timber and we built a playground. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. And at the time it really it made me question everything, what I wanted to do with my career and my life and how I could give back. And so really from there, I decided that I wanted to do more with kids' health and environmental projects. And I think also one thing for me was having children and becoming pregnant. And again, without realizing it, I just wanted to detox everything. So I looked at natural cosmetics. You know, when I had my first child, Chloe, I was really conscious of the nappies I was using and laundry detergents. And it was driven, I guess, from protecting her. But then I kind of realized that the impact some of these conventional products have on the environment. So by making these changes and small changes at a time, I was not only detoxing my house and my life, but, you know, contributing. I think when you have children, you start to really care deeply about their future and you start thinking about all of those things. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I totally get that as a mum, and obviously with a lot of my customers back in my business Sustainababy before, obviously for 6 years before I've just recently sold that, but that's when a lot of people really start their eco journeys, is when they become a mum. So just interested though, what were your goals before you went to Indonesia? So before you went over there, what were your goals? Where did you see yourself going or working?
I wasn't sure. I was working in the building industry. So I was working for Boral, and I was in a strategy operational role. So it was in manufacturing. And although Boral had sort of green office policies and things like that, it was very much a corporate environment. And we had certain values that we had to live by. But for me, it just really didn't resonate. You know, it wasn't until I went to Indonesia I realised that I'd always been interested in health and nutrition, and on the side I was a personal trainer and fitness instructor. So I was conscious of what I was eating, and yeah, it was really that trip that just, it was for me sort of the light bulb went on, and I realised that, you know, I was more passionate about, you know, what I could do to make a difference.
Totally. And make a difference you are. So we're talking, that was about 16 years ago. So when you came back to where you are now, can you just have, tell us about how that looks? So when did you first think of Whole Kids and get into that? Like, how did it all come about?
Well, it was always kind of there. I had, I actually do have 19 nephews and nieces. And so, 19. Yeah, 19. And just conversations with family around how tricky it was to feed children healthy foods, particularly at school age when they were sort of on the go the whole time, and how many processed foods there were out there that were being manufactured, you know, really using a lot of additives and were being marketed as healthy. And so I just started having a good look at the space, and I met with a dietitian at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne to understand what some of the issues were, and talked to some organic growers, and I went overseas. I had a look in the States at what was happening there in this space, and I felt like it would be amazing to create a business that not only was healthy but was fun for kids, and that could also give back. And so at the heart of what I was doing, I always knew that I wanted to use this business to create a community program and to give back to kids' health and environmental projects. So it was more about sort of the social side, developing a business with a social conscience, than so much as you know, making profit, which is something I guess that, and a reason why the whole corporate thing just didn't appeal to me.
Same here, totally. But you can have a business that makes positive change that's profitable as well. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, does
it? No, it doesn't. And I started reading very early on. I started reading a book Anita Roddick had written from The Body Shop, and she was amazing. Like in the 70s, she was talking about socially conscious business and, you know, educating people in the fact that you could run a business and still make, you know, great changes and contribute to the environment. And I was kind of really inspired by that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just have a chat about Whole Kids, because I just love to just share what you've been doing with that and how you're actually making change. So let's just have a chat about what the business is and what your products are, and I guess how they're making it, how your business as a whole is making a change.
Sure.
So yeah, just.
So,
chat about that.
Yeah, so Whole Kids is Australia's largest range of certified organic foods for kids that are allergen friendly and obviously additive free. And the business is also contributing to kids' health and environmental programs. So we have what we call Whole Kids Small Seeds Community Grants Program. And from that program, 1% of our total sales revenue, so that's regardless of profit, we put into kids' health and environmental projects across Australia. So we work with groups that are looking for funding, and every quarter we receive over 200 applications. And as a team, we sit down. Yeah, I know, it's amazing. And there's so many kind of grassroots things happening that are really worthwhile. And so as a team, we sit down each quarter and we decide where the funds will go. And so we've supported some really amazing things through the business. And I guess that's, for me, an area that I'm really passionate about, and I really have this drive to kind of grow our business further so that we can contribute more to some of these programs. Mm. Yeah. And we've also recently just signed a partnership with TerraCycle Australia. So all of our packaging, now is fully recyclable, which is something, again, I'm really passionate about. We get a lot of feedback from customers who are looking to recycle or looking for biodegradable packaging, but Australia's a little bit behind in terms of, you know, the rest of the world. So we talk to TerraCycle, and we also have an upcycling program now. So we have a kids' school brigade. Parents can get on board and send their waste to be recycled, and we do some upcycling. So we're developing from our packaging lunch boxes and pencil cases and all sorts of fun things that kids can then use.
Oh, great. I guess the key is to make it fun for kids and for adults too.
That's right. So, our products are all certified organic. We sell them throughout health food organic stores throughout Australia, and we've recently gone into the supermarkets, and we do the children's meals on Qantas and Emirates and Jetstar now. So it's amazing. Wow. Yeah, we're finding this big movement over the years that people have come to us. They're getting a lot of complaints from parents about what's in food products, and so they're looking for healthier options. And as a result of that, we've really been able to get our name out there. One other really exciting thing that we've done this year is taken over sponsorship of Little Athletics in South Australia. So we're very passionate.
Awesome.
Yeah. We have
We're starting that. We'll be starting that with our youngest in the cooler months. We're doing swimming at the moment.
Yep.
And then, we'll start Little Aths for the first time because it's just started up in our town a couple of months ago. So it's only just come to Roxby, but we'll be doing that on Sunday mornings when it's too cold to do swimming lessons.
Fantastic.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, well, we have a campaign we're running called Unjunk It, and it's really about unjunking kids' lives. So not only when it comes to food, but getting them back to nature and activity. And we've been lobbying Little Aths for some time now to drop their major junk food sponsor, because we just feel that it's really the wrong message. And they should be partnering with companies that are promoting healthy eating, active lifestyles. So that's kicked off in South Australia.
I love it.
Yeah.
We need to get you to be Whole Foods Cricket, not Milo Cricket
that,
too.
That's right, yes.
That's the next one on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely love it. So let's have a bit of a chat about some of the ingredients in your products and just the sustainability of them and how you're really actively seeking out sustainable options.
We really look at our ingredients and how sustainable they are. So we use at the moment some palmoline oil in one of our products, and it's sourced by an RSPO certified. It's the only one in the world, actually, that's a certified sustainable source. So it's, you know, we're conscious of the devastation of the rainforest in Malaysia and the fact that, you know, we can source products that are sustainable that aren't impacting that. So, yeah, we are seeking out sustainable options. So the palmoline oil is one. And it's, you know, we do take pride in knowing where our ingredients come from and working with our organic producers. So it's a Rainforest Alliance certified product that's from South America, and they're the only ones in the world to have that certification, which is legal recognition that the product is produced sustainably, without causing harm to the environment or the society. So, and then we do some little rice crackers, and the rice that we source is from a community group who, they're not fair trade, although they're going through the certification at the moment. The people that we source it from, they actually have built a manufacturing plant within the rice growing community. So they bring them together, and the proceeds go to building schools in Thailand. So that's another ingredient that we, you know.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So You know, we're really conscious. And then locally in Australia, our growers, we work very closely with the apple growers. And I think they do it really tough. And you just, you know, I think being able to produce organically is so hard because you're so subject to seasonality and pests and all of that. But I have a really funny story, actually. Our corn grower, he called me one year and said, oh, we're expecting our crop, the production is going to be really low because we have this particular worm that it can basically take hold of the corn crops. And so at the start of the season, he called me and he was really worried. And then at the end of the season, I got this phone call to say, we've actually had our best yield ever. And what had happened was this worm had the effect of actually pruning the crops. So it was like this classic example of when you let nature take its course, that actually the outcome can be really amazing. So we ended up with a lot of corn supply as a result of that. So
good quality organic corn.
Yeah, that's right. So so we have some great examples there. But, you know, the growers do it really tough. And we, depending on seasonality, sometimes we have to source our apples. We try and source them locally in Victoria, but often there will be bad frosts or a really bad summer, and so the yield, you know, won't be good. So we'll have to go to South Australia or to Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the tricky parts of dealing in organics. And one of the challenges, I guess, is, you're so subject to sort of nature and to not having, you know, chemicals up your sleeve to try and impact things. But, I think the benefits just outweigh all of that. Yeah.
Oh, so do I. Mm. It's funny, I get a weekly delivery of organic produce. And it's funny, I just ring up on a Monday morning, what's come in today? Well, we were expecting this, but it hasn't come in. But we've got all this amazing fresh watermelon. Would you like some of that? You know, it's kind of a bit of the luck of the draw. But, yeah, whatever you've got, send me the freshest, you know.
That's great.
So it is a bit like that, but it's always, it keeps you on your toes, makes you be a bit more creative too.
It does. But it's kind of the way things should be. I mean, things shouldn't be available all year round, really.
We don't eat blueberries all year round.
That's right. So, and that's the beauty. It's like a surprise, you know, what's coming in each month. It's, you know.
Totally. So. Probably not good for surprises when you're trying to run a business, but a home kitchen, it's a bit more.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's what makes it tricky when you're trying to run a business and you have a family, really. So, I guess one of the other things I was going to mention was the whole nude food movement, because for us, that's one thing we're looking at in the future, is how we can look at resealable packaging and, just get on board with that a bit more and look at doing things differently. Yeah,
because I'd imagine that would be really hard, like when you're selling a product in, you know, for hygiene reasons, it needs to be contained and packaged.
Yeah.
Unless you can buy other things in rice crackers and things, you'd probably be able to buy a bit more bulk, in bulk.
But yeah.
That would be tricky.
Yeah, but it's a funny movement, because I think people then, they often will buy single serve portions and they'll just empty the packaging at home and then put it in the lunchbox. So I don't know, we're looking at ways that we can solve that and just create more bulk foods but that are resealable, so that they can just go in the pantry and there's not as much packaging being used.
Yeah. Oh, no, good idea.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it is tricky too. And just with some of the pests that can get into pantries too.
Yes.
So making them weevil proof and ant proof and
those things, I know.
Yep. I'm sure you're up to the challenge, though.
Yeah, but, you know, little bit by little bit, I guess if we all do our piece, it's, you know, there's a lot more awareness now, which is great.
I love your philosophy. Like I said, you're not scared about really going out there and creating change, because I find some people in the business space that are really wanting to make a change. Sometimes you get that money mindset, that the bigger, you know, I don't want to be too profitable, but we forget to say that the more bigger and the more profitable, the more successful your business is, the more change you can make.
That's
and
right.
The more you can give back. And I think Whole Kids is like a really great example for that.
Thank you.
But I know it hasn't just come about overnight, and it doesn't just come easily. Now, I also know that yourself and other, obviously so many other game-changing business people, you never set up these sort of businesses for the awards, yet you have won some amazing awards. I was obviously in the room when you cleaned up at the Entrepreneur Awards last year. So for the listeners today, Monica might go, humble and everything now, but she is the 2015 St. George Banking Group Oz Mumpreneur of the Year.
Thanks, Laura.
And you're also awarded the Emerging Entrepreneur 2015 by the NAB Women's Agenda Leadership Awards for your innovation leadership and a strong commitment to creating change for the future. Now, Oz Mumpreneur, maybe not all our listeners will be familiar with that term, but it's basically, I'll just explain it, as about a mum in business. And it's typically a mum who is juggling running a business, generally around caring for young children at the same time, which you are doing. So it is a huge job. And obviously I'm in that room as well. And we tend to, I don't know about you, but often we tend to try and portray this everything's under control image to the outside world. I've got no business and the kids, and you know, meanwhile, and you can even look behind me on my Skype camera, you can see some mess in my lounge room office. But yeah, just let's have a chat about what it's like being a mumpreneur and just the juggle and some of the challenges and how you've overcome some of those challenges. So how does the juggle work for you?
It's crazy, and I'm always working on it. I think there's no such thing as balance. There really isn't, because, you know, your world changes when you have kids, and your priorities change too. And so there's this pull to be with them, but at the same time, you know, when you have a business, you need to dedicate. I actually call my business my first child. It's the one that, you know, is taking the longest to grow up. But I found over the years, my first child, it was really tricky. I didn't know what to expect, and I thought I would be able to do everything. So I set myself up. I had access to the office and the shared drive from home so that when my baby slept, I could be working. And so the first thing everyone says is sleep when your baby sleeps, but I couldn't do that. So I was.
Yeah, I never did that either.
And then I found myself part of a mother's group who I love and adore. They're so supportive, and we're still all great friends, but they all had maternity leave and they were home, and we'd be walking our babies, and I'd be getting calls from creditors and suppliers, and, you know, it was just nonstop. And I just felt it was really hard to divide things. And, you know, there were times when I just wondered how I would get through. But I think it's just the great feedback that we get from our customers and knowing, you know, there's been a time where those friends of mine, those mums, have had to go back to work. And I've realised with my business, not only if I can find the balance and bring in the team to support it, which I'm still working at, that not only is there opportunity for flexibility for myself, and I've found that now that my daughter's at school, so I can take off early or start late and be there for her. But also I'm pretty passionate about creating a flexible environment for families at work as well, because I just think the old ways of working are just, you know, times have changed.
They're defunct.
They really are, yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, so much of us we bring to work, and so, you know, there needs to be some sort of flexibility around all of that, and people's ability to know that they're coming to work but they can have time for their family. So that's something that we're working at here. But I think personally for me, it's been about really trying to divide the two as much as possible. So my daughter is very good at reminding me when I'm on the phone, and there was, I know, it's really tricky. Yeah. There was one day where I had to take some work calls, and she got really upset with me. And so we sat down and we talked about it, and we decided that at home we'd have a zero phone policy, because I think too, I'm really conscious, as are most mums, of how, or most parents, of how kids pick up everything. And so if she's seeing me on the phone a lot, what habits am I instilling in her? So at home, and it's really hard, but we do have a zero phone policy, and everyone at work knows that, you know, not to contact me. So when I'm at work, I try and work really hard and complete everything I've done. And, you know, it still means at nights I'm working, but when I'm with my family, I'm really with them. And I think the kids respond well to that, and I feel less guilty because I'm there for them. Yeah,
that's some great lessons there too, and some learnings for me too. I think I only had an awesome 3-year-old tantrum yesterday by my son, because he'd seen me on the computer a little bit this week, so he wanted to go on there as well. So of course he came in and I logged off and everything, but no, he wanted to go on the computer and wasn't taking no for an answer. It's really hard. They do want to be like us, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And it is. It's tricky, particularly when you're running a business from home too. It's because you are juggling everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think too, I hear a lot of stories about people who feel conflicted. They go through really busy times, yet their family needs them. And for me, it's been about just things have just evolved and shifted as they've needed to. At times, my kids have needed me more. So, you know, the business might morph and then, you know, come back. And I sort of just try and do what I can. And I guess I've set a pretty big vision for our business, but I also really focus on achieving no more than three priorities at a time, and priorities that are going to help me get closer to that vision. But I've got a massive task list, but you're never going to be able to get to it all. And that's my attitude, is if you can just knock over the three most important things, then, you know, you're getting some way to achieving where you need to be. So, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So I guess we've touched a little bit on home life and how crazy it can be. Now, I know you've got very strong health and eco ideals, obviously, and social ideals. Yep. How does this come down to your household? Because I know what it's like to run an eco household, and some things can take a little bit more time. So that adding that to the juggle as well. So let's just be open and honest here for all our listeners, and what do you believe that you do well? And what do you things you think don't do so well, that you could do better? And do you experience green guilt when you realise that, you know, if you're not living up to your ideals in some areas, I don't know, it's on top of mother guilt, us eco people, we get the double whammy.
Yeah.
So, and how do you deal with that? So let's take a look inside your home and let's have a chat about it.
Actually, I have a funny story. I ended up in sleep school with my son for the first 12 months. Yeah, he woke every 2 hours. But it was funny because as part of the sleep school program, they have a psychologist who talks to you about what you do. And I was telling her about my life and, you know, the business I was running and how I was still breastfeeding him and all the rest. And she called me a high-achieving hippie. She said that, you know, we're the worst possible kind, because it'd be much easier to be a high-achiever and not care and just, you know, push through things. But it's almost like there's this conflict and this pull. And, I experience it all the time. I think
I love you for it. I just wish you lived around the corner. We could chat about it all the time.
Yeah. She was right, you know, and I think there's a lot of people like that too. They really are, and it's growing. So I think in terms of what we do well, I try to cook and obviously use organic food. We have a garden at home, so we try and grow things and use them as well. I guess I find when I'm not so good is usually when I'm not organized.
Totally.
So it's really easy to just buy a bottle of water or a coffee on the run, and you know, use the car when I'm running late for work. And it's funny, my daughter, now that she's at school, she started prep last year, and she was appointed to be an energy saver during one of the terms. So she wears this little high-res vest that says energy saver at school and walks around looking for packaging in the schoolyard and things like that. But she brought that home with her, so she's always picking me up when lights are on, or, you know, how can we better do things. So I think one of the trickiest areas was nappies for me. I found these amazing fully biodegradable nappies, and they felt like silk. They were just gorgeous, but they're not compostable.
Biodegradable nappies are still a single use, you know, they're not
That's right.
They're not the best option, but they're one of the greener options.
That's right, yeah.
So
I was reading the other day about someone who spent a year not buying anything and just using recycled materials, and I was thinking to myself, that would be a pretty amazing thing to do with a family at some stage. Yeah.
Especially young family growing out of school clothes every second term.
Yeah, that's right.
Or dance shoes. I think I bought my son some dance shoes last September because he does hip hop and tap and jazz. And he's already grown out of them. And they were big.
Yeah.
They were too big. Like, he had all this room, and now, like, I've got to sort of squeeze his foot, and he just tells me I just don't do it because it hurts his foot. But that fast.
Yeah.
We're talking 5 months, not even that.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
They've done one dance concert. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. We try and minimise our impact wherever we can, but it is tricky at home. And I guess, you know, for busy parents too and families, it's really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. How old are you? How are your children right now? Because your little one's still only one.
He's 18 months, and Chloe has just turned six.
Six and one.
Yeah, so
on
busy.
The go.
That's right,
nonstop. Yeah. Well, similar to mine, I'm 6 and 3, so I guess my 3-year-old can play with my 6-year-old now and run off and make mess. Oh, great. So I guess we've chatted about our issues. So obviously environmental issues and health issues are most passionate about in the schools now, and obviously with food and lunchboxes. This is actually a challenge I've been having in my own town, and I've shared this a little bit with my followers last year, just how difficult it is in the schools just locally. Now, we're obviously a little bit remote, and some of the messages haven't, you know, it's not a nude food policy at the school or anything like that, so that some of the city schools are really leaning on. And, they're still counting with Smarties in maths and things like that. So I'm kind of up challenging the school and being the bad person in that, but obviously trying to make a change, but it is hard. So have you got any other tips for, I guess, some of our listeners who might be in a similar situation to me? We've actually had some good headway, so the school's brought in a healthy eating policy this year and they're encouraging. We just obviously had the welcome last week, and so the PNF is really getting involved in sharing recipes and all this sort of stuff. But it's a long journey trying to change some of the mindsets of some teachers and even a lot of parents who think that childhood should be fun and party food is part of childhood. So how do we break that mindset and culture that kids are party food is fun and childhood is for fun and you can worry about healthy eating later?
Yeah, it really doesn't have to be. Like you know, kids' parties can still be fun and you can still provide things for them without necessarily the food. And I just think there's so much research now on behavioural issues and illnesses as a result of additives. And, you know, there's certain additives in Australia that are used that are banned in the US and the EU, and it's really shocking that they're still used here. And in kids' food that's, you know, for kids as young as toddlers, the baby food market's quite well regulated, but the rest of the market's sort of open. But we're fortunate in that at Chloe's school there's a sustainability council, and they're really focused on initiatives to help the environment. And they do it in a way that's, I guess, not so, you know, so it's not preachy or it doesn't come across as being really sort of gung-ho about it. It's just really helping and teaching the kids, and I think it's been received really well. So, I think it's a slow process, and it's one of education and just, I guess, letting people know that there are options and alternatives out there. So, and talk.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, and just talking to them about some of those options and, you know, the benefits of looking at putting different programs in place. So,
And I guess starting with a policy or a framework that we can work from too, because, it's what we've just kind of found. Different teachers think different. The teachers our kids have got this year are really fully on board. Other teachers in other classes, it's game on, you know.
Yeah, I know. Some people
It's hard.
Yeah, there are people out there who are really dismissive about it, and, you know, some people will never change. And I think as long as we're all doing our bit to, you know, for us, for our business, it's funny because we have different customers. We have customers who buy our products because they are organic and they understand that organic agriculture is so much better for the environment. But then we have others who, for them, that the environmental side really doesn't appeal. It's about health for their children and the products not containing additives. And there's all sorts of different things that drive people, I guess. And I guess it's about, you know, where we can, just trying to educate and affect change wherever possible, and hopefully others then come on board.
For sure. And, I guess leading by quiet example, one of my friends mentioned to me, lead by quiet example. Get the movement happening.
That's right.
Okay, so speaking of movements and obviously big goals and everything, what's next on the list for you, or what's coming up for Whole Kids? What are some of those big hairy goals that you've got?
Well, our big hairy audacious goal is, which we set, it's coming up, it's 2020, it'll be 10 years. And so within 10 years, we want to have provided 50 million healthier choices to parents and kids. So to date, we're sitting at about 15 million. And that's something that really drives us, because we know that the more we can get the product out there, the more we can contribute to all of our great programs so mm-hmm. and start affecting change. So one thing I'm particularly passionate about is, you know, obviously the sponsorship of Little Athletics. And a challenge for our business, often we find that cafes and kids venues and things, they tend to be contracted out by the big food companies. So it makes it really hard for little guys like us to get in and provide healthy options. So I was meeting with a major kids attraction in Sydney a couple of months ago, and they said to me, look, your products are amazing. Parents want healthy foods, but see the counter over there. Well, that counter has been put in by a big snack food brand, so you actually can't put any of your products on the counter. And so we had to find a way around that, and we come up against that a lot. And, you know, I'm not about saying everywhere should be healthy, because I understand that some people, you know, they don't want to go that way. But I'm just big on, you know, providing choice, and I think it's really important that people are given the choice. And the more I come up against this, the more passionate I am about really just getting it out there and just kind of giving people that choice. So another thing that we have on the cards this year is to start lobbying for healthy checkouts, because I think you're probably similar to me in that the big food companies are really clever at positioning products at eye level for kids, and then you have this pester power and tantrums and things going on. And
even in the pharmacy when you're going to pick up a medicine or something, there's all those jelly beans right at eye level.
That's right.
Yeah, so. But there's checkouts. There's no healthy checkouts where I live. Nope.
It makes it really tricky. So that's one of my big goals, is just to try and get healthier options out there, and to just really start growing our Unjunk It campaigns, which are really about unjunking kids' lives. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. You have me totally inspired.
Thanks, Laura.
And behind your movement. Thanks, Monica. All right. So for all our listeners today that would love to check out Whole Kids and, or at, you know, start to take advantage of some of the options and that you're offering and sample some of your wares, where can they best find you online?
So our website is www.wholekids.com.au. Yep. So if they go there, they can read more about all of our products, all of our community programs, and the great work that we're doing.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I'll pop that link in the show notes in iTunes so people can just click straight through to and support your awesome business.
Thank you.
All the wonderful people that are working for it as well to help you get those 50 million of healthy choices out there by 2020. Love the goal.
Yeah.
And so thank you so much for coming on Eco Chat today and sharing your story and your ambitions for the future. And I wish you all the best in achieving them, Monica.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.